was quiet when we approached the tomb. Days before, there was noise wherever we went. Crowds cheering, sometimes yelling. But now, in front of his tomb, just silence. I had gathered all my spices and oils, intending to anoint the body. But when I got there, he was gone. Jesus changed my life. Ever since the day that I met him in Galilee, he rescued me. And I followed him ever since, all the way to his death. But there was the tomb, and it was empty. My heart broke into 1,000 pieces. I turned and there was a gardener, and I asked him if he knew where they had taken Jesus's body. But I recognized it was Jesus. It was my Lord. He taught us that his sheep would recognize his voice, and I knew him. I knew him the minute he said my name. I dropped to my knees. What else could I do but cling to him? I never wanted to let him out of my sight. But no, he had different plans for me. He wanted me to let the others know about the good news. I ran as fast as my legs would carry me, shouting like an excited child. He did it! He did it! He really did it! Yes. To think that I had come to anoint a dead man, and I left with proof that he is the overcomer of everything. All of us, can never beat fear, sorrow, sin, definitely not death. Death. He beat death. Who do I say that he is? I know who he is. Oh, I know who he is. He said that he would rise. And he most certainly is risen. He is the Savior. He is the one true God.
If you were here last week and you remember the video we watched last week, it was the opposite end of the spectrum from somebody who doesn't know Christ and her reaction to who Jesus was, and that was heartbreaking for me to watch in a different way. You know, this was moving because of the love, but the other one was moving because of the fear there of somebody who didn't know the Lord. So I'm so glad to be on this end of the spectrum this week. Before we get into the message, I'd like to pray for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are worthy of our worship and our praise. God, we just come together to worship you more than anything else this evening. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would nourish us with your word. God, that you would exalt the name of Jesus Christ in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. And we just praise you in his name. Amen. So we've been going through a series the last few weeks, Who Do You Say That I Am? And tonight we're going to look at Mary Magdalene's answer in Matthew 28, 1 through 10. So if you've got an app or a Bible, back in the day you could hear the rustling of pages, you know, when they had that. But yeah, now we have the little glow, right, from the app. Everybody got their apps going? Okay. That's good too. Or it's going to be on the screen. Mary Magdalene, I think, is portrayed pretty well in the video. Mary Magdalene never got over her encounters with Jesus. From the first moment that she met him and he delivered her from seven demons that were living inside her and tormented her, to the nearly 6 hours that she spent there at his crucifixion at the cross watching him die, to the moment of resurrection on Sunday morning when she was there and Jesus spoke to her after he rose from the dead. Mary Magdalene's life was changed forever, and who she was changed forever because of Jesus. Once a person encounters Jesus Christ, once you really encounter Jesus Christ, it changes who you are forever, and your life is not the same again. The question we're considering this evening is the one that Jesus asked himself. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" And what we celebrate Easter weekend, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I think more than anything really helps us to understand who Jesus has always been and who he is today and who he's going to be for all of eternity. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one who conquered the grave. Jesus is the one who died for the sins of us all. Jesus is the one who went to the cross on our behalf. Jesus is the one that is worthy of us coming together and worshiping him. Jesus is the one. He's the one that, if you know him, gives your life meaning and purpose that you never knew was possible. He's the one who, just for so many reasons, changes everything for us. He's the reason that we gather together this evening. As we get together to worship Jesus, I think if we look at Mary Magdalene and try to understand who she understands Jesus to be, it's going to help us, as we get to know her story, to identify with her answer, and for us, through her, to see ourselves in some ways and find our own answer to who Jesus is. Mary Magdalene is one of the best known and I think least understood people in the Bible, and there's a reason for that, is because the Bible doesn't really reveal a whole lot about her background. If she had social media, it's all set on private. You kids probably understand that better. I guess you can do that. Mine's probably all public, but I think there's some kind of thing you can toggle. But Mary Magdalene's was private. Other than a few details of her life, we don't know a lot. But one detail that we know for sure, because it's in all four of the Gospels, is that she was the very first person to see the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Man, can you imagine? Mark states in 16:9, "Now when he rose," Jesus, "when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons." The first time that Mary Magdalene's mentioned in Luke's gospel, he records this amazing first encounter with Jesus, where Mary is freed up from these tormentors that are inside of her. In Luke 8, 1 through 3, it says, "Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others, who provided for them out of their means." So this passage tells us that Mary and some other women had been deeply impacted by meeting Jesus Christ. When they met him, it had made a huge difference. And they not only followed him, but they were following and supporting him. They were giving of their finances. They were giving of their time. They were giving their attention and their energy to help others be impacted by Jesus too. We don't know exactly the day or the exact location, but we do know that Jesus freed Mary from her demons. We've been looking at this map the last couple weeks just to get an idea, because these are historical events and where they happen. And if you look up here, this is the Sea of Galilee. And you can see Magdala here, where Mary was from. There was a fishing village called Magdala, and it was just a few miles from where Jesus' headquarters was. Jesus, although he traveled a lot, had a place that he liked to go, a town where he liked to go, Capernaum. And he would go there to get rest and to be rejuvenated. And so it was pretty close to his home village that he liked to go to during his 3 years of ministry. And from the various gospel accounts, we know that Jesus was involved in several exorcisms in this particular area, that this is a place where he cast out many demons. So Mary from Magdala was given her freedom from these demons while Jesus crossed her path one day. It changed her life forever from the inside, from the inside out. And I hope for each of you here this evening that that's something you can identify with. And if that's not happened for you yet, I want you to understand and recognize that Jesus can do the same thing for you. That Jesus can change everything about your life starting from the inside out when you encounter him. It's worth noting that in the scriptures, every time that it talks about demonic possession, that it's never the result of a person's sin. It's never the result of something somebody did to become possessed. Rather, they are afflicted. It always speaks of the person who's possessed as being a victim in the language. Demon-possessed people were tormented. They suffered sorrowful lives, not only because of this torment from the demons, but how society treated them. Because if you were possessed, people didn't know how to handle that. They didn't know how to interact with you, usually. And so people who were possessed not only were treated in a way that made their life chaotic and hopeless because of the demons, but they felt like outcasts. They felt like outsiders because of how society treated them. And maybe some of you here this evening have felt that way for whatever reason in your life, where you have felt like an outsider or you have felt like an outcast in some way. And you need to understand that even though, if you've ever felt that way, you may feel like you haven't had a friend to call on, but just like Mary Magdalene, she does have a friend to call on in Jesus Christ, and so do you. Jesus, when he cast out these demons out of Mary, he did so with a word of authority and with a word of power over these demons. And it delivered Mary from this demonic affliction. And most likely, Mary, as we read in other accounts of demonic affliction, suffered probably from depression, anxiety, unhappiness, loneliness, self-loathing, shame, fear, and all these other miseries. And many times in Scripture, when it talks about demonic possession, people also suffered from physical torment. Many times they were blind because of demonic influence, or they were deaf, or they suffered insanity, or they suffered some sort of physical manifestation because of this influence in their life of evil. However, all of it changed. Everything changed when she encountered Jesus Christ. He set her free from a daily existence of hell and misery that she'd become familiar with. And she was never the same again. And because of that, she began to follow Jesus, which to us may sound like a natural thing, but in that time, typically rabbis in that culture did not let women follow them. It was really kind of unheard of. However, Jesus welcomed her. Jesus welcomed both men and women to be his followers and to learn from him. Jesus did more to show the value and dignity of women than anyone else in all of human history. He treated women with respect every time he interacted with them and communicated value and worth. Jesus treated women with honor. And so because of that, Mary Magdalene and other women who encountered Jesus felt comfortable in following him. They felt a sense of value, a sense of security, a sense of purpose, a sense of dignity and worth. As Mary Magdalene followed Jesus, she undoubtedly many times would have heard him teaching. She would have watched him perform many miracles. She would have seen him love on people that other people thought were unlovable. And eventually, she found herself at the foot of the cross, seeing the ultimate expression of God's love for mankind and for her. all the disciples, except John, all the other disciples fled when it came to the crucifixion. But Mary stayed. See, Jesus was the one who had rescued her. Jesus was the one who had brought her hope. Jesus was the one who had brought her salvation and brought her deliverance from sin. And because of that, she stayed there, and she watched Jesus die, and she waited. She watched him as he cried out at Calvary, where the cross was. For 6 hours, she watched him suffer. And her devotion and loyalty didn't diminish. She stayed there. Even after his final breath, and he was taken down from the cross, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus hurried to take Jesus to bury him before sundown, because that was their custom with the Sabbath coming. And Mary Magdalene, as she was watching, she followed to see exactly where the body was laid. She knew where the tomb was because she was there to witness it. She saw how they had very hurriedly prepared the body because they didn't have much time. And so she knew where to go back to. She knew the right tomb. She knew where Jesus was when it was time for her to go back and show her devotion and her loyalty to her Lord. And she wanted to go back and anoint the body properly when the Sabbath was over and to show her respect. In Matthew 28, it describes this scene. And the surprise waiting for her. As she and another woman, they returned to the tomb where she had seen Jesus placed. And it says, now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. She's had quite a weekend. What an incredible experience. Can you imagine how traumatized? Because at the point of the cross, Mary has no idea that this is coming. You know, her heart is just wrenched with pain and with loss. And I think she must have been exhausted with crying. Have any of you ever been? You've been exhausted with crying before? Wears you out. And I think she must have been exhausted. And she's probably going through her memories of Jesus and all the conversations with him and all the things that she'd seen him do and everything that he had said. And now it's Sunday, and she's going there to his tomb, and her heart has just got to be completely wrenched. But because of her loyalty and her devotion, she's going to go there and pay respects one last time, and she's expecting that her dead friend is going to be there in the tomb. That's what she's looking for. That's what she's expecting. But now she knows there's an empty grave because he's risen. I think what a surprise for her. You know what? I mean, it's just amazing contrast. What she was expecting and the reality of Jesus Christ were so completely different. You know, she was expecting to go there and wash Jesus' body and prepare it properly. And she goes there out of a sense of love and loyalty, and then Jesus is there and greets her. You know, I think that if Mary Magdalene lived in our time, I try to put myself in her shoes right before she realizes the tomb is empty and right before she has this encounter with Jesus. And I'm thinking, you know, she's probably going there thinking, I'm going to go there and I'm going to pay my respects to Jesus. I'm going to anoint the body, and then I'm going to hurry off to church because it's Sunday, and I'm going to go sing some songs and going to hear some cool stories about what Jesus did back in the day, and I'm going to go have lunch, you know, something healthy. You know, go to McAllister's probably. She was not expecting anything like what happened. Nothing like that. We come into church services that way sometimes, not expecting much. But Jesus is there. He's got something totally else in mind, ready to blow us away. You know, maybe some of you came here tonight not expecting very much, not knowing what to expect, but you got to understand the reality that Jesus is just as real here tonight as he was when he met Mary there. And that your encounter with him can change you forever. And your encounter with him here tonight can be utterly different than what you came here expecting tonight. Mary Magdalene found something very different than what she expected. Praise the Lord. Matthew's account tells us there in verse 2 that there's an earthquake that occurred and there was an angel. You know, it's good to know that the angel didn't roll away the stone to let Jesus out, right? Jesus didn't need any help. He moved the stone so that Mary and the others could see that Jesus wasn't there. The tomb is empty. And I think her head must have just been spinning at this point. What is this? You know, seeing the risen Christ and understanding the ramifications of this. All the gospel accounts suggest that once she heard his voice, she knew that she was in the presence of Jesus. She knew, once she heard his voice, that this was the risen Lord. Look at Matthew 28, verses 8 and 9 again. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples, and behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. It's kind of funny. I can't believe the Lord's got the sense of humor to put something kind of funny in this context. But the word there that Jesus used to greet them is charet. And it's funny because it's a very casual, kind of funny Greek word. And it's kind of like, what's up? You know, Jesus is like, howdy. How you doing? Yeah, he's probably bringing a little levity. You know, he understands, man, they are just wrecked, okay? I mean, they're wrecked already before they even know who he is. So Jesus comes up and he's like, good morning, ladies. You know, you never know who you're going to find outside an empty tomb, you know? And just, they're just, blows their minds, completely rocks the world. But the reality of a resurrected Jesus Christ just stopped them in their tracks of what they were doing, and it caused them to immediately worship him. The word worship there is proskuneison, and it can be translated knelt before. That's what it means, to kneel before. And the resurrection of Jesus, it was just a natural response. They just fell down. They just knelt down and started worshiping him and stopped what they were doing because that was an appropriate response for what was going on. John MacArthur said, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the central event of God's redemptive history. The resurrection is the cornerstone of the Christian faith, and everything that we are and have and hope to be is predicated, it's founded upon the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There would be no Christianity if not for the resurrection. That reality that Jesus Christ has risen and is alive is worth just stopping everything and just worshiping him. Just stopping what we're doing and with all of our being, just worship who he is because he lives. As Mary Magdalene stopped and she worshiped and she knelt down there at the feet of Jesus, he makes this amazing statement. I want to share this with you, Matthew 28:10. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. go and tell my brothers. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. So Jesus tells Mary, who was a victim, she was a victim of demonic possession. Jesus had delivered her from seven demons and makes her responsible to be the first bearer of the good news of the gospel. And he says, go tell my brothers. And I think we don't want to miss that. I think we don't want to skip over that too quickly, because it's such an incredible moment of forgiveness and such an incredible moment of hope. Go and tell my brothers. Peter, who had cursed the name of Jesus and lied about even knowing Jesus at all, and these other disciples who ran away at the hour of testing, who had all abandoned him, they were hiding and weeping, and I'm sure at this point they're disgusted with themselves and they're laden with guilt and shame that they'd abandoned Jesus. And Jesus says, go and tell these screw-ups. No. Go and tell these disciple wannabe losers. That's not what he says. It's amazing what Jesus says there. He says, go tell my brothers. Go tell my brothers. It's incredible. It's incredible that Jesus Christ takes a rescued victim and sends her with the gospel to go to those who need saved. And because of the resurrection, because he lives, they're brothers. Because he lives, they're forgiven. They're more than followers. You know, maybe you felt that way. I have. You felt like you failed Jesus. You felt like you screwed up something, some opportunity too badly where you've let him down. You feel like you're too weak, you're too inadequate, you're not equipped enough for whatever Jesus is calling you to. And whatever it is, you got to understand that because Jesus lives, you are loved. And you are a brother. And you are a sister. Because he lives, Jesus says, listen, you are loved, and I'm going to show up. Just wait. I'm going to show up. Just like he did to the disciples. That's what makes the resurrection of Christ so amazing. That's why Mary Magdalene, I think at this point, she's just overcome with joy and emotion, is that she knows that not only is he Lord, but she's family. Sister, go tell my brothers. Because of the resurrection, they're family now. The one who had rescued her and saved her and died for her and risen says, we're family. You're my church. We're family now. Sister, go to your brothers. Tell them we're family. While we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. Amen? And now he is risen. He's risen indeed. It's exactly what Jesus told us he was going to do. And the reality of the resurrection helps to answer that question. Remember, we started with a question. Jesus said, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? You know, I think our answer has to be an answer that includes worship and adoration and praise and just stopping and recognizing that because of him, we're more than followers to him. That he's not only saved us, but we're brothers and sisters. You know, he is our Savior. He is the one and only. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord of all of creation. There is no one like Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. He's risen. That's why we're here tonight. That's why we worship him at all. Because he's risen. Indeed. Jesse, if you'd come up and lead us in one more song. We're going to have another worship song. But before we go after that, I want to close us in prayer. So if you'd please stand there. Let's worship the Lord.